Welcome to Changemaker with founder of Gypsy Tea and social entrepreneur Zina Muzika.
This new podcast is to help you embrace change and experience amazing people and entrepreneurs. We're going to be sharing secrets, habits, and change-making abilities with you so that you can apply them to your life and make a life of your dreams.
This is Changemaker with Zina Muzika.
Welcome to Changemaker with Zina Muzika. Today we have a very exciting guest whose new title is something like Presidente Pilata. He is a professional and personal investor for over 30 years. Prior to forming Raptor Group in 2009, Jim Pilata was most recently vice chairman of Tudor Investment Corporation, where he had responsibility for over $10 billion in long-short equities and pioneered Tudor's venture capital program and Tudor's outside managers seeding business. Jim is currently president and chairman of AS Roma, the global football team, co-owner and executive board member of the Boston Celtics, as well as a board member for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Berklee School of Music, Children's Hospital Trust, and a member of the MIT Media Labs Advisory Council. Wow, Jim, welcome to Changemaker.
How are you? Happy New Year, Zina.
Happy New Year. Well, I'm so excited to be talking about what you're up to. And, you know, I've known you mostly as an investor in consumer brands and technology, but it sounds like you have an exciting new endeavor bringing the new to the old town of Rome.
It's pretty interesting. About 3 years ago, I actually thought I was going to slow down and maybe retire, and then this opportunity came up in Rome to control the one of the larger teams in the world that had fallen on tough times for a little while with and a bank owning them, basically. And about 3 years ago, four of us put some money together and took over, and then I ended up becoming president and majority owner of it. Interesting place to work.
So how does it feel? Like, you're Italian, grew up in Boston, working class family. You ended up, you know, finding your genius in investment and hedge fund managing. And then you've always had an interest in football. What drew you to the soccer team other than they were under duress?
Well, you know, what's actually interesting is most of my interest was in American sports, and up until 3 years ago, I can't tell you that I really loved football or soccer, as they call them in the States. And once I ended up getting involved, I became fanatical about it, where I'm watching games at 3 a.m. and, you know, I actually think I'm losing my mind a little. And, you know, it was the real opportunity to take a team and a city, try and bring it back to its glory of one of the great teams, and you have Rome at the end of the day. And so, you know, everything that I've done for the last 30 years, whether it's been in sports, whether it's been as a technology investor since the early 80s, or whether it's been as an analyst in media and entertainment and, you know, content, if you kind of take those three areas in a triangle, it's one of the first and largest opportunities I've ever seen to kind of coordinate all of those areas and verticals into one thing and creating a global, really one of the great global brands, hopefully.
So when you looked at the team, I guess they call them clubs, and you saw that they were struggling, you know, you've made quite a few changes in the last 3 years there. And it looks like, you know, they've had a lot of success. The morale is up. I watched a video of you with one of the great players, you know, on AOL, and you looked happy. You guys were betting over a bocce ball tournament, you know, match.
With Cole.
Yeah. Tell me, looking at it from your point of view, what was the first thing you saw that needed to change?
Well, I took over a little over 2 years ago, about 2.5 years ago, and what everyone would say to me all the time is, you know, you can't run it as a business. And I just found that that was completely false. I mean, you've got to run everything, you know, as a business, but when I mean as a business, it's really just having substantial discipline. And the first thing we did was really analyze the way the operations were being run and found that, you know, they weren't being run that well. And it's not, it just wasn't something that was endemic to Roma. We went around and I spoke to a lot of other major teams to try and see best practices. And there were some teams that did some things really well, but most teams actually weren't using a lot of discipline and best practices out there in terms of like a business or even some American sports teams. And so that was kind of the first step. And about 2 years ago, I brought in a new CEO. I brought in a year and a half ago our outside counsel. I didn't like the way the coaching was being done, so we got rid of the coach, brought in a new coach about 18 months ago from France, Rudy Garcia, who's turned it around on the pitch, as it's called, and the team in 1 year made Champions League, and we're in second place, and hopefully more moving toward a Scudetto or a Champions League again for next year. We had great football operations, people. We didn't have great financial controls. We brought in a controller and changed that. We just hired a digital and media guy that was considered to be one of the best, if not the best, in the world on football, and he just came over, was coming over from Liverpool. We just brought in a new merchandising guy. We've got a deal with Disney where we're Disney's team exclusively for the next 5 years in the world. We signed a 10-year deal with Nike, who's now making our kits, which were some of the best, if not the best, voted kits, shirts and all for this past year. So we've just been instilling a lot of different changes that are more discipline and controls. And now we're sort of, to use the baseball analogy, I think we're just coming out of the first inning. And we've got a long way to go. And now we've got all the pieces in place, I think, to try and create this brand. And last week we got, which no one said could be done, we've got approval to build a 60,000-seat stadium in Rome, state-of-the-art stadium with 300,000 square feet of almost LA Live or San Antonio Riverwalk entertainment space. There'll be an office park there, hotels, TV studios, radio studios, a major practice facility, a performance training institute, Roma Hall of Fame, superstore, and as I said, an awful lot of entertainment space. Our partners are AEG and Legends and CAA, and you know, we hope to have college football games and potentially an NFL game, and we have conversations with colleges already, and we intend to have festivals that are similar to the Coachellas or country music festivals and food and wine festivals. So it should turn out to be one of the most significant stadium projects, if not the most, in Europe.
So
small project.
Well, I read all about it online and I saw it just got approved, and it's, you know, it's mind blowing. So, I mean, when you take on a project this big, are you just versed in taking huge leaps? Is it something that, you know, you in particular are built for? I mean, because this is probably one of the biggest projects. I mean, like you said, I mean, you're almost like building a Disneyland for the soccer world. I mean, what goes through your mind when you are, you know, approaching?
You don't want to know what goes through my mind, Dina. But
I do.
It's mostly like, oh my God, what are you thinking about? You know, what's been good is that I've been able to bring in some really good and talented people. So I have a great operational team and a great strategic team. Our board of directors is spectacular. The investors that we have are spectacular. We have people like on our board of directors, Barry Sternlicht from Starwood, Charlotte Beers, who is, you know, one of the top advertising women of all time, who are in Ogilvy and Mather. Mia Hamm, who's probably the best known women's football player of all time, has joined our board. Stanley Gold from Shamrock, Cam Neely from the Bruins. And then our investor base is actually fantastic, too, on top of that. And so we've got a lot of good input. We strategically or purposely actually did that. We didn't go and try and get institutional money or investors for the stadium or for the team. We've just put together a really good group of families and individuals.
That's fantastic.
So I've had a lot of help on it. But going through my head, you know, I guess it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to really create a global sports team. You know, you can't do that the same way with, let's say, U.S. sports.
Yeah.
You know, the Celtics, which I think are as well-known as any basketball team in the world, have done an unbelievable job of creating value. But at the same time, you know, football is the biggest sport in the world.
Absolutely. And it's
and,
so...
And everybody knows Rome.
Yeah, everybody... In one of your interviews I was reading online, you said, you know, and it's effing Rome. It's like, come on. It's just like.
It's exactly that. We've actually got T-shirts made up and we have the domain name. You know, we're not selling them, but we do have that. And it just says, when someone asked me in London in front of 1,000 people in the football world, you know, why'd you look at Rome and why'd you buy it? And I started going on for the reasons. And I said, you know what, I can spend 25 minutes doing this, but at the end of the day, it's effing Rome.
Totally. So, you know, you're making some really fantastic changes. Tell me about the program for the youth football players.
So on the youth side, what we've done, and actually I was in Orlando 2 days ago at Disney World, and we flew over our youth team to play in a tournament, which they just won, I think, yesterday.
Right.
But the youth players, which are under 19, essentially, in the last year or so, we've really expanded that program. So they've done a tournament in South Africa, another one in Vietnam, and this one in Disney World. And it's amazing that, you know, the youth travel that way in terms of how people respond to them. So when they got off the plane in Vietnam, our young players, 6,000 people were waiting at the airport for them and 25,000 people at the stadium to watch them play.
Oh, my God.
So it's really pretty cool for the youth program. But one of the things I was most concerned about a year ago is when I went through our educational program for our youth, which was actually fairly decent, but it didn't go far enough. So what we started this past year, and I think we're one of the few teams to do that, if one of the only teams, we've started a program where our youth get high school accreditation. So they have to go to school. And the rationale for that is, look, most of the players are not going to be playing, you know, in the first team of Rome or in the first team in a lot of other countries, you know, whether it's England or Spain or Germany or France. There's a good chance that just like college and college basketball players or football players, they're not going to make it to that final level. And I want to give them an opportunity. I mean, we don't want them to end up where they have no choice, where they may be working at, you know, a job that's a dead-end job. So they're getting high school accreditation. And what we've also done, and actually this Sunday I just did with a couple of people in Orlando, is we've talked to an awful lot of colleges, from St. John's to UConn to Wright State to Duke. We've already placed one player at Cal Berkeley, and that's working out really well. And so my goal is that any player that wants to go to college, and we would like to go to college, we'll get them to a college in the United States and get another get at least a college education and have some choices in life.
That's
the first step of our youth program in terms of education, and we're going to bring that down all the way down to the kids that come in at 9 and 10 years old.
Yeah, I was reading about that, and that's definitely, you know, not only are you making change with building a new stadium and reinvigorating this team, but you're actually really, you know, becoming an advocate for the youth. And, you know, there's a lot of stories out there in professional sports where, you know, a player's great and then, you know, they get an injury or something happens and they go bankrupt and, you know, they have a really limited scope on their lives. So it's pretty phenomenal that you're thinking ahead that way.
Yeah, it's and, you know, obviously the kids and the parents appreciate that. And, you know, just it's sort of that whole atmosphere that we are trying to create at Roma, that it's, you know, it's actually a family.
Yeah.
More than it's just someone dictating or a group dictating from above, which seems to be, you know, the way a lot of the sports were run.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Changemaker with Zena Muzyka.
So, Jim, what do your kids think of all this?
I think my kids have always thought I'm a little out there. My two boys who played American football, it's interesting. They've known all the players, not just at Roma, but a lot of the European teams forever. And it's really because of, because Electronic Arts, the FIFA games.
Yeah.
Kids have been playing these forever. And now in the last 5 years, and especially in the last couple of years, you're seeing a lot of the great teams in Europe on NBC, on Fox, on ESPN. So it's getting out there, even more. My oldest one is actually helping a little. He's a computer science major over at NYU and has an awful lot of experience in technology. And he's actually working part at a time, pro bono, on what we're developing for our whole social and digital platform. So that's pretty excited about it.
That is exciting. So what will success look like to you? Is it in 2017 when the stadium is up and running and you guys are bringing in tens of thousands of people? Or what does success mean to you on this project?
Well, I think, first and foremost, our goal is to have a great team on the pitch, and we've started to do that. So we want to, for the next 20 years, just be consistently one of the best teams in Italy, if not the best team. And we've got some great competition in Italy, and certainly want to be one of the best teams in Europe or in the world. And so, that's first and foremost of the success part of it. Then the second piece of it is, how we run our operations, and then the stadium piece of it in 2017. And, we draw 50,000 people right now in the stadium, in the old Olympic stadium from the 60s, which have actually done a nice job with it. But it's there's a track around it and the infield,
yeah.
And so you're not right on top of the pitch. And so when we have our team in the new stadium and they're right on top of the pitch, I think we have the most passionate fans that I've ever seen almost anywhere. It's just going to be a big advantage to us.
Yeah.
But, it really is to create that great team and then build a global brand over the next 10 or 20 years.
So what does this mean for the rest of your business? Are you pretty much full-time on this, or what does it look like for you?
I'm probably spending about a little over 50% of my time on it right now. I think I was spending a little more than that in the last year and a half. And now that we've got financing in place, and then we'll be working on our stadium financing. And now that we pretty much have a great operational team from A to Z, so I don't really have to spend as much time on it. I think most of my time is really comes about on the strategic side of it. Actually, just before this call, I spent the last hour and a half with my CEO, Italo Zanzi. He happened to be in Florida right now. We just had breakfast and went over about 50 items on an agenda on it. So it's that type of stuff that going forward. And then the other 50% is just, me. I just, a lot of different projects.
Yeah,
Still a lot of stuff in tech investing, some consumer stuff. We're building out some media and companies based off of what we're seeing in sports and what we're testing with Roma. A couple of other things here and there.
Great. And do you still do South by Southwest?
We're doing that and working on a 2-day program, Raptor House, right now with Rock Nation, Live Nation, and AOL for a couple of days in March. It should be fun. We're just putting through the agenda right now. Sarah's working on that.
Great. And for our listeners, Jim and I met, 7 years ago, 6 years ago?
Yeah, about that, right?
God, mm-hmm. a lifetime in this world. But yeah, and Jim has always, been like the cool investor, the one with the great art collection and the music memorabilia collection, and the guy who, can really, you know, talk about food in a meaningful way. And you know, you've always been passionate about chefs and creativity. And how do you see that fitting in? You mentioned something about food and wine festivals in Rome. I mean, you could have the epitome of the food and wine festival globally if you open that up.
It should be, right? I mean, you would think that we should have a spectacular one, and we should have a program with the new stadium anyways of rotating chefs from Italy and around the world and pairing them with great wines from Italy. And that's going to be a lot of fun to actually not only put on, but I'm just thinking about the food right now. After we're done, I'm going to need to go for a run or a walk or something. But
so
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to our listeners who really aspire to find their own brand of genius and business success in the world? What are your, you know, very deep secrets of success? Is it state of mind? Is it a spiritual practice? Is it running? Is it lots of food? What is it?
You know, I think it's, you know, for me, it's always been just a curiosity from when I was young. And you know, while I wasn't someone who really loved school, I always loved to read and to learn. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, it's on my gravestone, I hope someone just puts, there was no dress rehearsal. You know, and I think just, you know, people and young people or anyone just has to try and take that attitude that, you know, you only go around once and there is no dress rehearsal. So, you know, make the best of that, the time.
Definitely. And I have a chapter in my book, about curiosity and how I almost cut coconut chai out of our line of teas because it wasn't selling at the time, and remaining curious, you know, actually led to us keeping it, and it got us on the map. So definitely agree with the curiosity front. Well, Jim.
Well, you were early on that one. I mean, that was the issue.
I was too early on a lot of stuff. I projected a big vision on, you know, a lot of different things without proper infrastructure, but you know, I have no regrets. I think everything is perfect as it turned out. And I always appreciate you and your guidance from afar and the inspiration that you are. You know, just looking you up online the last week preparing for this, I was so excited to see everything you're up to and just the twinkle in your eye and the lift in your step. You look really happy, Jim. I'm happy to see it.
Thank you. Nice talking to you, too.
All right. Well, take care, Jim. And thank you so much for your time. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for Changemaker. You can find us at iTunes and radio.com.